Blog Talk Radio.
The Abolitionist Hour. I'm your host, Carl G. Call in at 646-716-8652. And don't forget to push 1. Broadcasting from the southern plains of the greater Midwest in Kansas City, overlooking the beautiful Kaw River Valley in lovely Wyandotte County, Kansas, and occupied Osage Indian Territory. So greetings, ex-prisoners, partisans, communards, brigadiers, and lumpin' proletariat. This is the Prison Abolitionist Hour podcast, celebrating 370 years of anti-capitalist thought through reasoning and rebellion.
I'm not
crying for him. I don't even know his name. What he's done, it was a sin against God to be reckoned come judgment day. I'm crying for what we've become, burning our flesh to dust. I'm not crying over him, I'm crying about us. I'm not crying over him,
I'm crying about us.
We'll strike a match, throw that switch. I emptied my gun, some son of a bitch. And now I ain't afraid to die, but I sure paid to lose. Lethal injection blues. You can open that valve, shut that vent. I'm ready to smoke this, my last cigarette. So tell that fella through the window to make his move. I got down lethal injection.
All right, we're back. It's still 9 p.m., the Abolitionist Hour, July 23rd, 2022. It just dropped to 99 degrees out here on the Kansas-Missouri border. And we apologize for not having a broadcast last week. We had a certain situation, and the 100-year-old water pump broke down at Central Command of Radio Free Kansas. And but we're back today, and I think we're both recovered from physical heat exhaustion. We just met this heat wave head on, and of course it snapped back at us. It was crazy. The highway was crazy once it hit 100 degrees. Brand new cars were overheating. They were telling people not to buy gas in the daytime. And people were running out of gas. I mean, we were at Broadway and 70 an hour ago, and there were three cars stalled under the convention center there. And, people taking out phone poles. There was two fires in Independence Avenue this week, and one was right across the street from the fire department. So the chief would just sit there and supervised in the driveway of the fire department at the fire station. These are our days of trials and tribulations. I'd like to thank Grant Peoples, the folk singer that brought us those last two songs. And so he's got a couple albums out. He said he's done about 14 albums. But the guy went to like Appalachian State for creative writing, went down to Nicaragua for 11 years, got there in 1981, met a woman, decided to go back to Nicaragua, and she had disappeared. I mean, these stories, we got more of this stuff, but yeah, it's just, I don't have that kind of talent. I respect people who can write poetry and certainly perform doing this. But yeah, so when he hit 50, he became a folk singer. So he'd been writing poetry and doing creative writing and teaching and building hotels in Nicaragua. And so now we all have ways of dealing with our pain, and we can't hold it inside of us. And so that's kind of where we're at. And I think we need to do Pledge of Allegiance, the Utah Phillips version. Mike, are you there?
Yeah. Give me a second. I'll have to look that up.
Okay. So let's take a look. We got Nazis that march around the country, and so up in Boston, we've talked a couple weeks ago. We were talking about some of the Nazi rallies, and of course there was one out there in Utah, but there's a NSC. It's called National Socialist Club. The Nazi Chris Hood was arrested the second time today, in the past month. This is the second time he was arrested. And so at Rod Weber on Twitter, you can see him getting thrown into a paddy wagon or gently. They're pretty gentle with these white supremacists. And then you can see Rod Weber with a sign that says F Nazis. And then Weber and his partner show up at the police station to see who bails him out. And so it's a continuing story. Neo-Nazi Leo Cullinan from NSC 131 just showed up to bail out his buddy. So Chris Hood now is out of jail.
They got her.
All right. Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance by Utah Phillips.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the multinational corporations and to the profit for which they stand, one interlocking directorate under no government, indivisible, with monopoly and cheap labor for all.
We march in formation, lockstep, in cadence, so that their bodies don't betray their fear by jerky, hesitant motions. Head straight, on order, by order, so that the folder cannot confirm under certain eyes. They make noises. Hut two, to think. Hut two, and whatever they are told, instead of possible death, and they think of dying anyway, even though they are used to thinking whatever they are told, and they think they should be honored for this, and they shall be, increasingly, with grenades, lockstep. Kwasi Balagun, December 22nd, 1946, December 13th, 1986. Black Panther, member of the BLA, New African Anarchist.
So Mike's going to play this. Arizona Prison
you're,
Labor.
You're on. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Carl. We had a power outage out here. First the water goes out last week, and then the electricity goes out. But we're back on air, and I'm sorry about the interruption. You're back live now, and do you want me to play? What would you like to do?
No, let's do this.
482.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'm sorry about that. Still
that's
trying
right. Hit it, Mike.
See ya. Okay, brother. Hold on.
Hopefully the power doesn't go out in Brooklyn.
It blinked. It only took a blink. That's all it took. Here it is, your
okay.
Clip about the Arizona prison.
Thank you.
I hope. Good grief.
Are we not being clear? We're trying to tell you that the entire planet is about to be destroyed.
Okay. Well, it's, it's something we do around here. You know, we just keep the bad news light.
Oh, you see, John, you're outside enjoying the sunshine. It's not too hot, is it?
No, it's absolutely lovely. What, 20 degrees out here is perfect. But on a serious note, folks, by early next week, you can scrap 20 degrees. It could well be 40 degrees. I think there will be hundreds, if not thousands, of excess deaths early next week.
John.
The charts that I can see in front of me are frightening. So we all like nice weather, but this will not be nice weather. This will be potentially lethal weather for a couple of days. It'll be brief, but it'll be brutal.
Oh,
so,
John,
you know, we can...
So, John, I want us to be happy about the weather and everything. I don't know whether something's happened to meteorologists to make you all a little bit fatalistic and harbingers of doom. Because all of the broadcasts, particularly on the BBC, every time I've turned on anyone's talking about the weather, they're saying that there's going to be tons of fatalities. But haven't we always had hot weather, John? I mean, wasn't the 76, the summer of 76, that was as hot as this, wasn't it?
No, and you know we are seeing more and more records, more and more frequently, and more severely. Some people always hark back to the summer of 76, which was a freak event 40 years ago. But heat waves are becoming more extreme. This is yet another one which is coming down the track towards us. And you know, I don't think we should be.
We'll be right back.
We're back. 7:28 p.m. It's 99 degrees. Feels like 102 degrees. In 48 hours, it's going to drop to 76 degrees. Thunderstorms on Monday. It's looking like rain is coming to the South Prairie. That's all I got. Except my good friend Lamar Hibachi from the Inglewood Free School. And the children's breakfast on King and 64th Street on the south side of Chicago. And we talked about the heat waves in Chicago, 1965 being the worst climate disaster on record. Mm-hmm. The heat killed more people in the Inglewood area. And now we got grassroots organizers in organizing the heck out of the place. And so we're going to get an update from Lamar. Lamar, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. We've
great.
The last time you were at King and 64th Street, and you've been doing free breakfast for children for how long now?
The Free Breakfast for Children program is something that we started in the Liberation School that the BAF, the Black Autonomy Federation, Chicago Local Organizing Committee, is playing a pivotal role in redirecting the minds of the gang-banging community of Gage Park. That's something that we just opened up about a month ago, you know. So we're working on, we have everything in place now. And at the moment, we set it up where we have a community free store, a Gage Park community free store, where folks who's hungry could come through and, see what's good, get something to eat. You know, we have bags set up, pre-set up. We just got a plethora of COVID kits, 108 boxes of COVID kits. So I did a training on COVID testing, because, you know, without the person holding the recorder, it wouldn't have been recorded. So, what we're doing 64th and King, that's O Block, the projects, Parkway Gardens. On Saturdays, we set out the tables. We go to the projects, and inside, we set the tables out, and usually about two or three tables, and we set out food that was donated through the mutual aid web permeating the anarchist underground here in Chicago. So the effects are substantially bearing fruit. Little kids hold down the tables. You know, as soon as we take the tables out the van, we park in the back, bring it into the into the center, in the center, and we ask the kids, all right, y'all got it? We got it. Usually it's like little 8-9-year-old girls holding down the tables, like, yep, we got it. Don't worry. Go and get the things. Come back with the Takis, and they'd be, arms folded, like nobody's messing with this table, like with revolutionary adamants, that's reminiscent of revolutionaries that we read about in obscure bookshelves.
And in this part of Chicago, 50 years ago, the Black Panthers were doing the very same thing you're talking about.
Yeah, like the Panthers, they were all over the city. Yeah, they was mainly on the west side. Oh, you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Oh, yeah. It's, mainly on the west side. This is the south. I'm over here on the south side. But they was everywhere. Yeah, they had free breakfast for children programs set up everywhere, And while the Black Autonomy Federation isn't, quote unquote Black Panthers or anything like that, we're autonomous, what some may consider anarchists. I consider myself an anarchist, ghetto bred anarchist, mm-hmm. And who I had to learn through trial and error. I didn't have any guidance. My mom was shot when I was 10. I didn't have no dad in the picture. Mm-hmm. I didn't have no guidance. So there's a lot of kids out there like that right now. Folks usually holler out from the windows like, hey, what y'all got down there this week, folks? We let them know, got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, while they hollering out the window. And we got saluted, like, what was it, like 3 weeks ago? It was like two weeks ago, right? And we got saluted, right? Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, the,
Explain to our audience what you mean by you got saluted.
Well, the G-bangers, the gangbangers, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, they saw how serious, because, you know, it's rival, you know what I'm saying, like a lot of rival stuff going on, you know, so they saluted what he was doing because, like, there was like a test, you know, where this a lady called me to her, you know, to her building or whatever, you know what I'm saying, to help her with, you know, some food or whatever or something, but, you know, in a way that was a little, you know, some may consider, you know, trying or, you know, teasing or testing or whatever, you know, so, or attempting or whatever, you know, so, you know, when they saw that I was, you know, that I came right back down after I handed her things and I let her know, you know, some words of inspiration and encouragement, like, don't worry, even though this project is the poorest community in the city of Chicago, where the household income per year is $9,000, you know, not one person, but per household, you know, $9,000 a year, you know, don't worry, you know, black people on the rise, you know, we're uniting and we're rising and we're reading books and we're getting together and we're performing with things, with, you know, such as mutual aid and, you know, and opening up liberation schools. You know, we now have a liberation school, you know, mm-hmm. and it's for anyone to come to the liberation school and, you know, check out a book or anything, you know, while listening to some music. You know, that you have food, or anyone who's hungry, you know, we're about, you know, ending unnecessary hunger, you know, so, yeah. So, yeah, and on 63rd in King, diagonally from where the projects is located, which is like ops, they're like opposition with the projects that, you know, that is being organized, you know, they're being fed, and at this simultaneously now, and how that came about was about 3 weeks ago. Now, we was going through, I got through the gate first because the projects is like gated off, and there's like checkpoints, it's like military checkpoints. You got cops guarding the project entrances, you know what I'm saying, and the gate that goes open, you know, then you go, and then a cop car goes back, slides back, and, you know, lets you go in, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, it's like a police state, a colonized police state, you know, mm-hmm. like in microcosmic form, you know, so, and with the amount of poverty that unnecessarily exists in, you know, that community, and seeing how that parallels the unnecessary economic deprivation felt in the bellies of the people across the street on 63rd and King, who's like, you know, opposite, you know, they rivals, you know, mm-hmm. and seeing how both walk away satisfied that they have bags of food in their hands, and seeing that their minds are on something else other than, you know, trying to find someone to sell something to make a dollar with, because they're trying to get something to eat. You know, now there's mutual aid, they have plenty, they walk away satisfied. Their minds aren't on, you know, sticking somebody up for something to eat or selling something, selling poison for, you know, a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you were at 64th and King, preparing for the free breakfast 2 weeks ago when the Highland Park shooting occurred, because that was in the afternoon, and
yeah.
So what was everyone's reaction when they heard about the white supremacists shooting in on a 4th of July parade?
For real, like on the 4th of July, you know, my immediate, I woke up, opened my eyes, as soon as my mind familiarized itself with, oh, it's the 4th of July, the Frederick D., you know, went to a slave in the 4th of July. Began playing in my mind, you know. So, you know, what came to my mind in particular, I can't speak for everybody because I didn't do a survey or anything like that or take particular attention to, like, because there's so much going on in the black community, you know what I'm saying, so many shootings and stuff, you know, it came to my mind like, wow, you know, look at all these shootings and killings going on the south side, you know what I'm saying, but then when, you know, like there was a house party in Inglewood, you know, where there was like 22 people that got shot. You know what I'm saying? You know, and there wasn't no publicity like this. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, that's what particularly came into my mind, you know, while at the same time, you know, my heart goes out to, you know, the family and loved ones of the victims and everything, you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, it's unignorable, you know, in the way the pivoting of the media lens seems to magnify more on, you know, things that happen mm-hmm. in the white community than in the black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the media whiteout of what's going on the south side of Chicago. I really appreciate you going into detail on this. Mike, do you have that on the Arizona prison labor? Cause,
no,
we'll,
you know,
we'll
I'll tell you what, that Arizona prison, I don't know. It never played. I think it may be a problem in the data transfer, but yeah, you could give the listeners a rough draft of what it's about, and all the other audio clips can be okay. For some reason, that one won't play.
I sent you another copy of it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll look. I haven't. I mean, we had. Lamar, good to hear your voice. I've been wondering about you.
Great. Hey, who's this again?
It's Mike. It's
Mike.
Mike and
yeah,
Paul.
Hey, I was gonna say Mike too.
I'm the white boy that creeps around the background electronically. So I try to help the show.
That's what's up. Hey, Mike. Hey, every time, it seems like every time, you know, that I think I know somebody's name and I say it, they'd be like, no, that's not it. But then when I'd be like, hey, is your name Mike? They'd be like, no. You'd be like, oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, this, yeah. But, hey, it's great hearing your voice, too, Mike.
Hey, can you give us contact information on the South Side Zine Distro?
Yes. South Chicago, Anarchist Black Cross, or you could put in parentheses ABC, Zine Distro, that's Z-I-N-E, Distro, P.O. Box 721. Homewood, Illinois, that's HOMEWOOD, Illinois, 60430.
Okay, thanks a lot. And yeah, you got a book coming out, is that right?
Yes.
A series of zines, or
yeah, it's going to be my teachings on comedic anarchism, and I'm like extremely mega thankful to Brianna, you know, Kansas City IWOP for her assistance and, you know, getting things together with the compilation and everything. So she's like a, I don't know, like a flame of fire that just quenches its own self with gasoline. So she's just phenomenal. Yep, and I appreciate y'all assistance in this too, like, you know, and everything with getting the addresses out and everything, the plug, and you know, y'all radio station is appreciated very much.
And so if somebody wants to buy the book, what's the price of the book and shipping and handling, and how soon will it be released?
Well, they're going to be selling at $15. However, the shipping and handling is yet to be determined. So I'll be able to provide the address and everything, and have, you know, the information on how people can get a hold of the book, and you know, as soon as possible. And it's basically a book on a school of thought that I've coined called comedic anarchism. Comedic comes from the root word chem, which means black, from the black soil Kemet, now known as Egypt. Back then they had schools of knowledge and wisdom that they enlightened the world with, and I unite these epiphanies that, or realizations that one can arrive at, with a rising level of mercurial intensity to blow the thermometer pop bottle of resistance, you know, out of existence. You know, people have so much potential within them. We have so much potential within us, no matter who we are, no matter what race, no matter what gender or lack thereof that we identify as. You know, we have, a remarkable genius that has yet to be tapped into by so many of us, and it's a never going. It's so expansive, you know. It's like an abyss of a reserve, you know, an abysmal reserve of bliss that we can tap into at any given moment.
Okay, so anarchism.
Yes.
Is the book.
And I connected with anarchism as a form of spiritual liberation, a form of revolutionary spirituality. I know it's a bit taboo, but sometimes you got to break the mold, you know, from what passes as, you know, conventional dogma, you know. And not to say that, you know what I mean, it's time to advance. We advance as we evolve, as we mature, as time goes.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, Mike, do you have that one queued up?
Excuse me?
Which one? Arizona Prison, your Arizona Prison
yes.
Read is not available. How about Hall?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well?
All right, we're gonna play a clip
Holly's Balls?
Yes. Yeah.
History is written by the winners, usually the male winner.
Holly said that based on the professor's logic, abortion is not a women's rights issue.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue.
That this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Holly.
Jackson Women's Health Organization blew up during a tense back and forth between Senator Josh Hawley, a Mo, and Berkeley law prof Kara Bridges when the senator questioned her characterization of who can get pregnant.
Oh, so your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
After Bridges referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy.
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing.
Holly asked if she meant women.
No. Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancy?
When the professor stated that some women cannot get pregnant and that some transgender men and non-binary people can, Holly questioned whether abortion is really a women's rights issue, as it has historically been presented. This led the professor to accuse Holly of creating a dangerous situation with his question.
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide.
I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing them, said Bridges, who teaches courses in family law as well as reproductive rights and justice. Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the only folks who can have pregnancies.
Denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
Bridges responded by stating that 1 in 5 transgender people have attempted to commit suicide. Holly shot back.
I'm denying that trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can get
pregnant. So you are denying that trans people exist?
So we can't talk about it.
And that leads to violence? Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this? Where
no,
they're told that they're opening up people to violence.
We have a good time in my class. You should join.
I bet.
You might learn a lot.
Senator then commented on Twitter that he tweeted,
Walmart has tremendous power and influence. It is now the model not just for retail, but for companies all across the corporate landscape.
Illusion, no solution, living in a loop. Congresswoman, there's quite a lot of concern around the country amongst Democrats that I've spoken to that come November, when it's a few months after the Supreme Court's ruling on Roe, and at a time when Americans are really struggling economically with inflation, with high gas prices, that actually other issues might be more important, and those other issues might favor Republican candidates in the midterm elections. Is that what makes the amendment, this amendment in Kansas, so interesting to look at, partly because it's sooner, it's in August, but also because it's specifically on the issue of abortion, and so you're going to be able to gauge the kind of temperature, if you want, of how many people turn out to vote on that one single issue in this amendment?
You know, I think the importance of the August primary that we have here in Kansas is, I mean, absolutely, it's going to help us see how many people are really willing to step up and fight for, you know, people to be able to make their own decisions about their health care without the intervention of, frankly, some pretty extreme politicians. But I also think that, you know, as it relates to this issue being on the ballot in August, it is also on the ballot in November, along with so many other things. You mentioned the costs of everything going up, whether we're talking about gas or things at the grocery store, if you can get your hands on things. And I think that, you know, while people are very, very upset, people are scared, people are frustrated and angry about the decision of the Supreme Court to overturn Roe, I also think that people continue to be very concerned and frankly frustrated about the rising cost of gas, about the cost at the grocery store.
You defeated this Republican, Ms. Adkins, 2 years ago. Running against you again this year, she is against abortion even in cases of rape and incest, and has advocated for the defunding of Planned Parenthood. So I'm sure we'll be talking to you much more as we go forward. Democratic Congresswoman Charisse Davids of Kansas, thanks. We'll be right back.
That was the Svetlanas. Olga, lead singer, exile from Russia, a Russian national, spoke out, one of the first musicians to speak out against Vladimir Putin invasion of Crimea. So what's significant is she was in Brooklyn or in Vermont, somewhere in this area, And a Nazi showed up with a SS T-shirt, and they canceled their tour. They canceled 41 shows because they didn't remove a Nazi, and they just blew up worldwide. You know, there were sort of a cult thing that came out with Pussy Riot that period, but now. They've got the guitar player from Queens of the Stone Age, so they got an LA session guy, and it really puts some fuel to their fire, and so we're going to hear more from the Svetlanas this summer, and we're back with our friend Habachi Lamar from the Liberation School in Inglewood. South Side of Chicago. Lamar's got a book coming out, and it will be available from Southside ABC Zine Distro. And so we're gonna say a few more things about the situation. They're experiencing doing free lunches for children there at 64th and King, where you have a housing project on one side. And then you have gangs battling the streets. And so mutual aid means exactly that. So they're distributing food in the projects, and they're distributing food to the people that are desperate, and it's preventing people from doing robberies and committing crimes so they can get through the next few days. To clear their mind from the stress of survival. So, Lamar, are you with us? Okay, Mike, go ahead and play 473.
I'm the devil.
Now, according to Miss Braithwaite's deposition, shortly after she filed her lawsuit, you began to harass her. Is that correct?
Your Honor, that is totally ridiculous.
What about coming to my house in the form of a black cat?
That was probably a black cat.
Well, what about throwing all that garbage in our yard? What was that?
I did not put garbage in your yard.
Well, who hit my car in the parking lot? It didn't dent by itself.
Now, you listen to me. I'm Mephistopheles, Prince of Darkness. When I start harassing you, you'll know it.
I tell you, if I find any more garbage in my yard,
you
I'm
going to...
Shut up.
And my mother knows
shut
she
up.
Needs
it. Mr. Mephistopheles, I'm warning you. You may hold dominion over the nether regions, but I run this court. Is that clear?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, if the parties have calmed down, I'm ready with my decision. It's clear that there was a contract between the two parties. What is not clear is the extent to which the defendant kept his part of the bargain.
Your Honor, it's clear that I did.
Mr. Mephistopheles, please. But in view of the plaintiff's age and the fact that she obviously did not understand what she was getting into, this court must find for Miss Braithwaite. The defendant is hereby ordered to pay damages and also maintain a minimum distance of 500 yards between himself and the plaintiff at all times.
So Judge Wapner finds for the plaintiff, Vonda Braithwaite. Let's get a reaction. Vonda, what have you learned from all this? Will you ever sell your soul to the devil again?
Well, only for something really good like eternal youth or a really nice car.
And Mrs. Braithwaite, if I may say so, you look awfully young to be Vonda's mother.
Well, I'm 33, but that's very nice of you to say.
Let's get a reaction from the devil. Mephistopheles, any comments? Mephistopheles?
Leave me alone. I'm sorry. It's not you, Doug. Just that I'm out $2,700 that I'll probably never see again, plus I have to pay damages. What am I going to do with three bonnet hair dryers? Mark my word, the wench will be mine.
Next time you'll get it in writing?
I had it in writing. You, watching this at home, worship me. I command you, become my willing thralls and live eternally.
That's all for this edition of the People's Court.
Oh, the sweet, sublime feeling of complete obedience to your evil master. Come, serve me, the Prince of Darkness. I command it. Serve me.
Let's go.
Wait one second. Obey me. Obey me.
Remember.
The eschatology of those people is not scriptural at all.
And then they got involved in a lot of activity in support of some of the most horrible repressive regimes in the world, like in Central America, in Guatemala, where one of their own, General Rios Montt, who was a member of one of the fundamentalist churches in California, he took over as head of Guatemala, and they had just slaughtered the indigenous populations by the thousands and thousands. And there are some of the reports in the covert action information bulletin that some of these right-wing religious people were actually helping in these campaigns of slaughter and also participated in torture. And what they were saying was, no, we're not killing real ordinary people. We're killing communists. And we're killing Indians because Indians are possessed by the devil. And so once you depersonalize a person, you can kill them without any, or torture them without any feeling yourself.
Once again, the same.
then once they are snapped, they can be told almost anything, even black is white, and they can be made to believe it.
When we saw the religious right using the stealth tactics, we knew that we had to come up with a way to uncover their candidates. So we began what we call a religious right national data bank and started gathering the names of people who attend Christian right conferences and go for training. So when they show up at some state far away from here as a school board candidate, we can check their computer and find out, yes, they were trained by the Christian Coalition for Political Activism.
The militias that are in 8 states for sure that we know about, very strongly connected to the Christian Coalition. The intertwinement of names there between the militias of these states and the Christian Coalition is just 100%.
At the Community Resource Center as the administrator of all the county social service programs. When I took the job in the county here, the two commissioners, the elected officials, were saved, and they began to witness to me, and they had a vision for what God was doing in this area. There is no family planning clinic in Potter County now because of the Christian views of the elected officials in the county.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
Swaggart publicly confessed his sexual indiscretions.
And I would ask that your precious blood would wash and cleanse every stain until it is in the seas of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against me.
The rise of the religious right seemed to have come to an abrupt end. Yet I found it hard to believe that the religious right would disappear into the woodwork. For years I had watched them create a thriving Christian culture, isolated from secular America. In 1982, I had filmed one of the many new fundamentalist schools. I had become fascinated with this totally separate culture. It was easy to get my name on every religious right mailing list. The fundraising letters came weekly. I was urged to write letters to senators and congressmen. There were magazines to subscribe to, products to buy. I could walk with the Lord, lose weight with the Lord, and shop in Christian stores. The Christian market had become a $3 billion business.
Over here, we have Petra, their new album called No Doubt. They are probably the most popular Christian rock band. You know, just by looking at that album, you wouldn't necessarily know that it's a Christian album.
Yes, this will make and drive any parent crazy.
Down here.
talk to people who have the same problems that want to be deprogrammed and get their own mind back away from their fundamentalist training. The person needs to be challenged directly by a very intelligent person that knows what he's been taught to believe, and just challenge him and make him answer, make the patient answer on each item, and challenge him in a not a vicious way, but a serious way, mm-hmm. so that he has to realize that what he's been thinking is not right, and then it'll suddenly occur to him that something is wrong with what he's been saying and believing, and he will step back then. It can take a couple months. Then he needs to get with a new support group, but certainly stay away from the old group that put him in the snapping position in the first place.
It amazes me that it took me 15 years to realize how dangerous the Christian fundamentalists are. Their intolerance of every other opinion is a threat to the very principle of democracy. Do I think religious fundamentalists have a right to engage in politics? Yes, but I believe their agenda is uncharitable and often cruel.
We want, ladies and gentlemen, as soon as possible, to see a working majority of the Republican Party in the hands of pro-family Christians by 1996 or sooner. We want to strive for the election of a conservative pro-family majority in the United States House of Representatives by 1996. Next, of course, we want to see the White House in pro-family Christian hands at least by the year 2000 or sooner. We're going to come back this year. We're going to come back in 93. We'll be there again in 94. We'll be there again in 95 and 96 and 97 and 98 and 99. We're going to keep coming back till we win it all.
I have a little bit. They say we are left with the same overriding question. What does the fundamentalist right have against human beings? What grudge do they hold against the human mind, human feeling, and our capacity to choose? In their escape from humanity through high technology, would they turn us all into machines? We cannot live as machines surrendered, nor would the United States long endure as a fundamentalist nation. But neither can we survive as two nations, one fundamentalist and the other secular.
Down again, I feel much stronger now. Don't wanna help, don't be down again.
8:49 p.m. in the Midwest. The temperature dropped to 95 degrees Fahrenheit. That was a band out of Monterrey, Mexico. All three are sisters, and they're called The Warning, and they'll be playing in St. Louis in September. They're very popular in the Midwest, and there's evidence that Metallica wants to pick up the sister. The oldest sister is the drummer, and she's probably, I think it's safe to say she's a musical genius. And the other band was Scarlet Riot out of Great Britain, and they were all school chums. They're in their early 20s now, and what these two bands have in common is they grew up playing rock. What is it? The video game rock, whatever it is, and where you have the little plastic guitar with the control switch. And so their aesthetic of what music should sound like came from Guns N' Roses and Metallica and these bands. And what we've seen in rock music is the changing of the drumming, where it's more of a Gene Krupa, you know, going back to the, you know, the dual power of music. You know, there's jazz and then there's pop music. I think we saw a switch between drumming styles over the decades, but it's gone full circle. So it's very minimalist, where a lot of your eighth notes on the drums are with a double bass drum pedal, as opposed to having two bass drums like Gene Krupa had. And so it's the same with Scarlet Riot. And then early on was a band called Nightwish. And so this is like, what if Xena Warrior Princess played in a heavy metal band? Because she looks just like Xena. It's like, oh my God, Xena's rocking out. And so, and they're a world band. I mean, if they show up, it'll probably be like Los Angeles or New York City. You know, they're like Pink Floyd. You know, they'll hit the coast and then they'll go back to Europe. Because they're just basically in Europe, you know, major cities are a few hundred miles apart. You could drive across Europe in 12 hours, where, you know, we would just be getting over the continental divide in 12 hours if we started driving out here, heading west. So, okay. So, we're back with Lamar Hibachi. He's with the free school in the South Side, ABC Zine Distro. He's got a book coming out. He's doing free breakfast for children at 64th and King. And we left off where we were talking about gang rivalries on one side of the street, the housing project on one side. You know, he's describing an apartheid system, and we were always led to believe like apartheid ended in the late 80s in South Africa, but we're seeing it in places like Chicago, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, and South Miami. And Lamar, are you there?
Yep, I'm right here. I'm right here, Compa. All
right. Right on, Compa. So, so you got gangster disciple is one of the active in that area. Is that right?
Yeah. Everything is like territories. Like in Chicago, you know, everything is like mapped out in territories. Like there's people who don't go across certain streets because that's crossing the territory. You know, and O Block, the O, that's, you know, with 64th and King, you know, that's the projects from 64th to, what, like, 67th, like Marquette or something like that, 66, you know, so it's the, you know, and it's like, gated, you know, it's like with barbed wire in the back, it's like steel bars, you know, they turned us away 2 weeks ago, we had to check back on the compass, because we came 3 cars deep, I got through the first time, but when I noticed they didn't come, you know, me and Compa Tasha, yes, you know, we went around. She's a new BAF member who does phenomenal work as well. You know what I'm saying? She's my secretary and you know, paramour as well. You know, if that's what you want to call it. But yeah, so you know, we've been doing remarkable. Well, she's been doing remarkable work, you know, particularly with letting the, you know, setting things up for the kids and things like that. You know, like I said, the kids hold it down. But yes, so there's conflict between particularly those factions, you know, and yeah, the, between those two territories, which are literally like right across the street. You know, so yeah.
So what kind of? Okay, so your district, your Southside Zine Distro, ABC, is distributing literature for, so you're hitting young adults, you're reaching young adults, you're reaching children, showing them organizing techniques and mutual aid. You're reaching out.
Organizers. They're natural community organizers, unconditioned, you know, like I said, it'd be like 8-year-old, 7-year-old kids, you know, watching the table and setting things up for us, you know, like neatly, you know, and, you know, so yeah, and then right diagonally across the street, another table set up, you know, so both minds are less occupied on, you know, opposition with each other and more occupied on getting their stomachs filled in a neighborhood that's, you know, going off of $9,000 a year annual household salary, you know, on average.
Yeah, in a city where it takes at least $80,000 a year for one person.
Yes, wow. And the elevator in the projects is broke, you know. So it's like this kid one time, this little boy, you know, and we got coloring books and everything. We fulfilled the request. It was like, but you know, the through, like I said, through mutual aid, one person can't do this alone. When somebody tries to say, oh, yeah, I did this alone, I did that alone, you know, that's like what politicians say, you know, like, you know, to get votes and stuff like that, to, you know. But, so, yeah, I had set my one to read. It would take, like, 3 minutes, you know, something for people for street walkers in Chicago and Kansas City, so...
Take it away. All right, we got 3 minutes. Take it away.
To the streetwalkers in Chicago and Kansas City, MO. To every gangbanger, to every dope dealer, to every stick-up kid, to everyone packing heat for protection or otherwise. To all who wake up with a gun at your bedside. Know that you're worth immeasurably more than the bank accounts of all the owners of your city's downtown buildings combined. Reflect on your life and prepare. Prepare for the social revolution against the government system, which could care less if you starve or eat, go to prison for the rest of your life, if you live or you die. Arm yourself with the knowledge presented to you from our underground pamphlets, books, and radio stations, such as the one you're listening to now. They are complementary weapons which aim to assist you and our people from the parasites in power who exist to suck you dry from all your potential. We encourage you to redefine your relationship with your rivals and consider who the opposition of you and those like you truly essentially are, and to reserve your bullets for worthier targets as you study. A class war is being organized throughout the world in the struggle for self-determination by the have-nots and oppressed of the world who recognize that according to the universal principle of cause and effect, we have the power within us to take our destinies into our own hands. the streetwalkers in Chi-Town, in Kansas City, M.O., to the zombies perambulating the streets at night, listening to the radio stations that provide them with insights of liberation.